Let's bow for prayer, please. Father, I thank you so much for the privilege that I have of opening the Word of God. Thank you, dear Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you, dear Lord, that it's living and powerful and that it can do a work in our lives and our hearts if we'll allow it to. God, I pray that this morning the Holy Spirit of God, who is the author of the Scriptures and the teacher of the Scriptures, will bring to mind everything that we need to have brought to mind in order that our lives might be transformed by your work within us. I know, dear Lord, that Satan would like to put the audience to sleep. But I also know that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive and he has already conquered the enemy. So I thank you for that, and I trust you that by your Holy Spirit you will speak to each one of our hearts today. I thank you, Lord, for the message that you've laid on my heart, and I pray that you'll use it now in each one of our lives for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to ask you a question to start with. Are you satisfied with where you are in your spiritual life? Are you satisfied? Are you contented with your spiritual life? If you are, that's a very dangerous place to be. I want to preach to you this morning about knowing God. Say, wait a minute. We're in Bible college. We're taking theology. Yeah, you can know all about God. His power, his wisdom, and all the rest of it. And that may make you a theologian, but it won't make you holy. I'd like you to open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 46. We're going to look at two different passages. I've got two different texts. We're going to look at two different passages, but we're going to start with Psalm 46. Do you have it? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, hallelujah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Think about that. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Think about that. J. Sidlow Baxter, in his book, Going Deeper, wrote this. To know Jesus as a living reality in the heart is heaven begun below. J.I. Packer, in his book, Knowing God, wrote this. Those who know God have great energy for God, have great boldness for God, and have great contentment in God. He was not talking about salvation. nor is Baxter, nor is the psalmist. Incidentally, we're going to look at Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to see there that Paul is not talking about salvation. They are talking about an intimate, personal relationship with a person. I think too often we think of God as some great cosmic entity out yonder someplace, but He's a person. He is real. You may know all about God. But it goes beyond knowing about Him. I think of a very poor illustration to kind of set this forth. I do not recommend this for young people. My wife and I were both older when we met. And so I started dating her on the 1st of May and married her on the 10th of September. That's too quick. For you young people. Now, for an old geezer like, I was going to say like my wife and myself, but I can't do that. but for older folks, you know, that's all right. You get to know one another pretty well. And for several months before I started dating her, I got to know all about her. I knew how old she was. I knew that she was German. I knew that I didn't know anything about her religion. We didn't talk about religion. I knew about a lot about her. I knew a lot about her. I even, believe it or not, I even got to know her dress size. I don't know why, but I knew all about her. But you know what? I didn't know her. I didn't know her until we got married. When we got married, I began to really get to know her, and she got to know me. I'm glad she didn't know me before she married me, otherwise she wouldn't have married me. But you see, we can know all about someone, we can know all about God, but not know Him. Now I'm making an assumption that those of you who are sitting in this audience are probably born again, saved, know the Lord as your Savior. So consequently, I don't want to talk to you about salvation, but I do want to talk to you about knowing God. Knowing God. And listen, there are really only two requirements in the Bible for you and me to really know God. To know Him intimately, personally, in a way even deeper than I got to know my wife and she got to know me. The first requirement is given to us here in Psalm 46 and verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. I think that first phrase, be still and know that I am God. I think that explains to us exactly what you and I need to do if we're going to really know God. Not know about Him, but know Him. The first 9 verses of this psalm set forth all about God. We have His omnipotence. We have His omnipotence in verses 1 through 3. We have His omnipresence in verses 4 through 7. We see His great works in verses 8 and 9. But then in verse 10, He says, knowing all of this, be still and know me. Not know about me, but be still and know me. Be still is a command. It means quit. It means stop. Listen to me. Busyness will keep you from knowing God. And I mean busyness even in good things. In ministry. I spent over 20 years in the pastorate. And too often I got so busy in the ministry, good things, that I neglected God. I didn't spend time with Him. I kept my hands on. And God says, here, take your hands off. You want to know God? You want to know God? Take your hands off. Quit. We're living in an age when we've got to have music, we've got to have activity, we've got to have our electronic devices, we've got to have anything to keep us from thinking. Closes our minds, and incidentally, keeps us from thinking about God. In John chapter 17 and verse 3, Jesus prayed that they might know Thee, the only true God. We delight in talk. We delight in activity. But listen to me. Activity is not necessarily progress, especially in our spiritual lives. It's interesting. In Mark chapter 6, the apostles were sent out by the Lord Jesus Christ to preach. And then after they'd been out in the ministry, they came back to Jesus to report to Him. They had been active. They had been busy. They had, and the report tells about that. But then in Mark chapter 6 and verse 31, we read, And He, Jesus, said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Now, it wasn't just they're going to be on vacation. That's not the idea. Because notice He said, Come ye. He was going to be with them. He was taking them from the busyness to a quietness with Him. They needed to stop their busyness and to spend time with Him. Question, how much time do you spend alone with the Lord? Well, Dr. Childs, you just don't understand. You see, I'm taking 16 hours, and I work 25 hours, and I've got ministry in the church, and I've got this, and I've got that. I understand. I understand. I've been busy, busy, busy. Not most recently, because I'm retired. The most ridiculous thing I've just, that's the most ridiculous thing I've said is I'm retired. but anyway, really, I understand. I know. So does He. And He still says, come ye yourselves apart. Vance Havner said many years ago, very famous saying, you need to come apart with the Lord before you come apart. And that can happen. I'll just share this with you, and I'll just share it with you. Back in 19, that shows how long ago it was, the last century. 1961, I was working full-time at the General Electric Company in administration, engineering administration, probably about 48 hours a week because of the various responsibilities, and was during the time of the Cold War and all the rest of that. And I was very, very busy working with the GE, 48 hours a week. But then God laid it upon my heart to start a church. And I planted a church. And not only that, but he also laid it upon my heart to have a radio program, a half-hour weekly radio program over five different outlets, I think it was. And not only that, but my wife and I both felt that we needed to get some gospel literature out, and so we started producing gospel literature. We had a printing ministry doing this. And as the church grew, we started a building program. And I was busy, 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 busy. To the point where I very nearly had a nervous breakdown. Because of so much pressure, so much being done, and so much going on. And my wife said, I think it was Labor Day of 1962. My wife said, 1963. Labor Day of 1963. My wife said, we are taking the Labor Day weekend off. Or you'll be in a hospital. And so we took the weekend off. We went away, just the two of us. Spent time alone with the Lord and came away from that refreshed and ready to stop being so busy. One of the things that Dr. Beal asks me to do on a regular basis is to spend time with freshman orientation on having a quiet time, getting alone with God, spending time and looking at how to spend time with the Lord and so forth. Look, Jesus said, come ye yourselves apart. He said, come. That means he was going to be with them. You get up in the morning and don't eat breakfast, rush to class, and then sometime during the course of the day, you may stop and throw up a quick 30-second prayer. You haven't spent any time with God. Time spent in the classroom is, while it is important, it is not time with God. That's the truth. He said, come ye. He said to those 12, he says, we're going to go away. We're going to go off here in a desert place, and you've been busy, but I want you to get to know me. You've been out there preaching and teaching and ministering and so forth, but I want you to get to know me. Because if you don't know him, all you can do is give people facts and information. So the psalmist says, stop! Take your hands off! Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Kings chapter 19? It's a favorite passage for everybody, I think. But 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses. I want to look at verses 8 through 13. 1 Kings 19, verses 8 through 13. And he arose, Elijah. He arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left alone. I'm left, and they seek my life to take it away. Murmuring. Murmuring. Isn't that what he was doing? And what he was doing was having a pity party, see? Now, the problem with pity parties is only three people ever come. Me, myself, and I. And that's awful poor company. Verse 11, God said, Go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. Now listen to this. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, still small voice. The lightning flashed. The wind blew, the thunder rolled, the earth quaked, the fire blazed. And it all shut out the still, small voice. The Lord is not in any of those. We look for and we push for the spectacular. But after the earthquake, a fire, and the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still, small voice. Still, small. Look, Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 15 says, For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, In returning and rest shall ye be saved. Now watch this. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. You want strength? Quietness. Confidence. Look at verse 21. Thine ears. Verse 20 says, And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears. Listen to this. Listen to this. This is what God is saying. Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, This is the way. Walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left. God says, I want to speak to you. I want to talk to you. But not in the great concourse of business. In the quietness. In the stillness. So be still. Quit. Stop. That's an order. That's an order. You will never know God by hurrying, scurrying, busyness. So stop. That's the first requirement. The second requirement to know Him is in Philippians chapter 3. Second requirement to know Him, Philippians chapter 3. And I know that you know these verses. But so often, in my case, and I'm sure in your case, we know them up here. We don't know them in practice. We don't know them in reality in our lives. Philippians chapter 3, we'll focus in on verses 7 through 10. In verses 4 through 6, Paul rehearses 7 different areas that would really grant him a place in the hall of fame of Christians. And I want to remind you that you can do all those things and have all those honors and have placards hanging on your wall of honorary stuff and not know God. In verses 7 through 10, Paul said, "What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." That I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He says, I had all of these things, but in spite of all of this, I cast it aside. I can remember when I was a kid, there was a company named Montgomery & Ward from Chicago. They were located in Chicago anyway. And Montgomery & Ward, we called them Monkey Ward. But Montgomery & Ward had 3 classes of stuff that they would sell you. For example, a washing machine that was good, better, and best. The good was, I'm just using this as an illustration, the good was $20, the better was $25, and the best was $30. Good, better, and best. Paul said, the things that I have, those are good. In fact, they're better, but they're not the best. What is the best? Verse 10. That I may know Him. What things were gain, that was good, but it was not best. He says, I cast it out for a purpose. Notice, please, that verse 10 starts with a purpose word. That. We could say, in order that. I got rid of all of that stuff, all of that good stuff, all of that better stuff. I got rid of all of it for the best. And what's the best? The best is to know Him. To know Him. If we're going to know God in the way that Paul did, there must be a surrender of all we count dear unto ourselves. You got it? Let me ask that question again. Are you satisfied with your Christian life? Are you satisfied with the progress that you're making? Oh, yes, I'm getting A's. I didn't ask you that. I asked if you're satisfied with your Christian life. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and verses 23 and 24. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." I want you to notice something. There are at least three times in here that the Lord Jesus Christ said that this matter of knowing Him and following Him is a matter of the will. You've got to make up your mind. I am going to set aside everything else. I am going to go out, if you will, us old farm boys, we can say it. I'm going to take all these good things that I think are so wonderful and take them out in the manure pile. I count them but dung. At this time, Paul had been serving the Lord for some 30 years. He had basically evangelized the entire known world. So he was not talking about knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. He was talking about knowing Jesus Christ, just knowing Him. With all he had done and all he had learned, he says, "I don't know Him." Can you imagine that? I want to know Thee in the fullness of who Thou art. I want to know Thee with a reverent, holy familiarity. This morning, I think we need to say, "God, I'm not satisfied. I will not be satisfied until I know Thee." Oswald J. Smith wrote these words. Now, let me tell you who Oswald J. Smith was. Oswald J. Smith was the pastor of the People's Church in Toronto, Canada. Great missionary statesman, a godly man, a very godly man. And Oswald J. Smith walked with God. I heard his son Paul tell how so often Oswald Smith would be walking in back and forth and talking to God in his room, just walking back and forth and talking with God in a familiarity that only came from spending time with Him. But he wrote these words, and it's in our hymnal. "I have walked alone with Jesus in a fellowship divine. Nevermore can earth allure me. I am His, and He is mine. In the darkness, in the shadow, with the Savior I have trod. Sweet indeed have been the lessons since I've walked alone with God." That's really knowing God. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Will you make a decision this morning to stop? You see, if you're going to know God, you've got to stop. And then you've got to take the things that are important to you, whatever they might be. A job, school, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife. You got to take them. Put them in those open hands of yours that choir sang about. To God. Do you know Him? Do you want to know Him? Or are you satisfied? Let's bow our heads for prayer, please. Would you stand, please? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, may I ask you this? What or who is hindering you from that blessed knowledge where you can, like Dr. Smith, walk alone with God? Is it busyness? Is it ministry? Stop. Quit. Is it things? Make a definite emptiness of all things in your life. Put them in the dumpster, if you will. Father, I thank you so much for the Word of God. I thank you, dear Lord, that you have so many lessons for us. And so often, dear Lord, we simply accept those lessons as intellectual material rather than material that can change our lives. God, how I pray for each and every one of my dear brethren here, that they would recognize that there are things that they need to quit. There are things they need to get rid of in their lives if they're ever going to know God in the fullness of who He is. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to ask you, please, if God has spoken to your heart and there are things that are hindering you from knowing Him, if there's busyness, would you just stop? If there are things, would you get rid of them? Maybe God has spoken to you, and I'd love to pray for you. If God has spoken to you, would you please, by an uplifted hand, say, Dr. Childs, there are things in my life that I need to get rid of that are hindering me from knowing God. I'm busy. I want to stop being busy. Please pray for me. You slip up your hands. God bless you all over. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Now look, a decision made while you're standing and raising your hands is wonderful. But you really nail it down when you step out and get on your face before God. Say, God, thank you for speaking to me. I'm making changes today. Father, I pray that you will minister to the hearts and lives of each one of these dear young people as they have asked for prayer concerning things and busyness. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name.